Well, hello, and thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Professional Pricing Society podcast. My name is Terrence, and we have a great guest speaker with us today who is speaking ahead of their speaking engagement at our Amsterdam conference. We have Athbar Samurai. Athbar, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Hi, Terrence. How are you?
Doing well, doing very well. I'm glad to have you with us today. You're going to be speaking with us on pricing sustainability as a service, correct?
Correct, yeah.
All right, so I won't waste too much time, but I will say we are very excited to have you at our upcoming conference. And this speaking engagement is going to be serving as a teaser for what's to come, you know, as far as you going to actually in depth with this topic at the conference. But for the time being, you can kind of give us a little taste of what to expect. Now, can you provide an overview of the concept of pricing sustainability as a service for autonomous urban mobility and how it envisions reshaping our cities?
First of all, I'm so glad I'm here and I'm excited and looking forward. Thanks for having me. So answering your question, it's a great question. So sustainability as a service is something that is going to come in the near future, whether we are prepared for it or not. So being proactive is that from a pricing perspective, I think that this is very important. And I chose autonomous urban mobility as an example of sustainability as a service because I see that coming sooner than later. The fundamental shift, I think it will value the mobility because in our cities, we find that very important, specifically from an economy cost, from a traditional economy cost, and finding and giving that approach that aim to encourage the use of sustainable resources. And by doing that, we are kind of like reshaping our cities, reducing congestion, air pollution, noise, greenery, and community hubs and creativity. And also, you know, investing in your time that you have in between.
Now, there are different aspects to this concept. You know, what are some of the key sustainability benefits that can be achieved by adopting autonomous vehicles and implementing pricing strategies that reflect environmental stewardship?
Okay, so from a pricing perspective, you have to take in, you know, we always try to be impartial, staying away from advocacy and tell people what they should and shouldn't. Mm-hmm. However, when it comes to sustainability, you have to like just specifically on that example, you're kind of like coupling the pricing strategy to align on the environmental stewardship where you can have several key sustainability benefits, such as, you know, significant reduction in greenhouse and gas emission. And whether we can, you know, measure that or not, that's where we as a pricing come into the picture, and we can add into that by putting a number towards that and making that visible. And secondly, it can also elevate the traffic congestion and reducing the travel time, and also gives like affordable mobility. And that all can be also translated into numbers where we can measure that and give it like a value where it can, you know, help people to make those decisions and look at those numbers of the before and after. Something similar to the sustainability reports that a lot of companies that they are now doing, mm-hmm. where we can have that framework built in advance.
Okay. Essentially creating something to basically track this information.
Exactly.
Now, how do frameworks like TCFD come into play, you know, when discussing sustainability as a service, or how can they guide decision making in this specific context?
I've been listening to a recent podcast called Sustainability Defined, and nice. It was talking about transparency. Transparency and how important that is. And if you look at the frameworks that now it is so essential, which is the science-based targets, SBTI, the TCFD, the Task Force on Climate, you also have to mention the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, which is the CSRD, that is now being implemented in Europe. And majority of the companies that are registered in Europe have to have a mandatory reporting on that. So with that being said, ensuring that we have a proper pricing strategy, it would help, you know, reduce that ambiguity when it comes to measuring the impact. Because a lot of times there are a lot of companies that would claim that this is a green, you know, solution, for example. And there is now a terminology that called greenwash. And it's basically saying that I would just put it there and there's no accountability. Now, with certain pricing strategies in place, this would eliminate that kind of like ambiguity and gives accountability to companies and also help with those reporting mandatories that it's going to be kind of like mandatory actually in certain places. I know it's not in North America. I know my country, Canada, they are like doing that now. So I'm just saying that if it's not now, it's later for sure.
Okay, so you're kind of giving a foreshadowing of what to expect in the future regarding this topic in particular. Now, in relation to this, are you able to give some information about the historical parallels in pricing strategies, like essential services like electricity? And are you able to elaborate and explain the historical shifts that can inform our approach to sustained urban development?
So I would just maybe ask you a question. Would you think that like as of now, if we look at electricity and we think about the model of how do we price electricity, it went through stages, right? But I would ask you now, if say 100 years ago, if somebody comes to you and say, we're going to price electricity, would you be able to give that a measurement? And my answer to that, and I'm waiting for your answer here, but
Well, 100 years ago, I don't think we would be able to track it as well as we can today. So I'm not quite sure how successful they would be in tracking electricity, electric usage 100 years ago, like they would be today.
yeah, and that's a fair answer, right? And that think about it as of now with a sustainability as a service, where we actually do not know, we can't measure. How can you price something that you cannot measure it? So that's the biggest question. If we go in history, and that's why I wanted to give that parallel, like comparison between now and then, before, you know, electricity came to the way that we know it, it was a luxurious, you know, very like to a certain people, it wasn't given to everybody. And then it became as a necessity. So shifting that dynamic and shifting that like price and putting an economic, you know, kind of like utilizing on the economic value of it, it went through like at least 100 years where we can now take it for granted. But what I'm trying to say, well, why I kind of like put those in parallel, because I feel with the sustainability as a service, we're kind of advanced in the sense of how we can track it and how we can measure it, really. And that comes with, you know, an open mindset of what that saving mean and think about it multiplied by years ahead. So whatever infrastructure that would be put, it would be years ahead. And that would measure and put a proper framework to the pricing strategy that we would put now.
That's interesting. And that makes a lot of sense. You know, in your presentation, you're going to be talking about the co-creation of a future of sustainable and vibrant cities. Now, how can industry leaders, policymakers, and, you know, even citizens collaborate to make this vision a reality? And what kind of role does pricing play in this collaboration?
I think pricing play a vital role in that. And the reason why I say that, people would go to the source, like how would you make something so appealing if it is not, again, goes back to the measurements and accounting that how can we make that appealing to people if it's not paying their bills, for example? So when you track it, you have a value to that service. And then when you make something that is going to give you all of that, you know, sustainability and sustainability models, you know, the policymakers and the citizen will really want to look at the benefit in it. And I'll give you an example. I lived in Alberta. I'm from Alberta, Canada.
Oh, nice.
And it's known for oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, there were huge, and mind you that Canada's has like the cleanest oil and gas industry in the sense that, I mean, from an environmental point of view.
Mm-hmm.
However, that being said, there was always a pressure of looking at different side of like energy sources in going away from oil and gas. With that being said, I've always thought that if we have some sort of like a report or a way that we can tell people, you know, that would be measured and that's how much will be the saving. I assure you, everyone would be pro sustainability, pro economic value, pro that, because that would mean that I'm going to be able to shift my mindset from the traditional way. So the bottom line is that you have to make that appealing. And by making it appealing, it has to be more tuned with the citizen, with the citizens' needs, more tuned with the policymakers. And those all together, it's kind of like an aligned, cohesive, you know, symphony of people are singing the same song, basically.
So, okay, so trying to find a way that appeals, at least for the citizen aspect, because that would be me, trying to find a way to where in which it appeal, you know, it appeals to me and what I either like or need. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Because if I tell you now, for example, if I tell you now there's like an electric cars, for example, let's take
electric cars. Okay.
And I would say like, hey, you know, like, what do you think of electric cars? Like we would shift everything to electric cars and everything. The first question you would think is that how much I would be saving
mm-hmm.
if I make that investment. That's your first question. Because why would I go from this to that if I don't have anything tangible in my hand, a tangible value in my hand that would make it appealing to people? And I would think that, to be honest and to be fair, all of us are seeking that. And again, that goes back to transparency. And a lot of issues, actually, when it comes to achieving sustainability goals globally, has to do with transparency, because goes back to pricing and being impartial, because when we give those decisions, it's based on data. And if those data are, you know, not available or, you know,
or
a little bit, exactly, that would make all of our decisions inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, hey, can you share some examples of, and you probably already started alluding to this in the first place, but can you share some examples of pioneering pricing strategies that mirror the value of environment stewardship in the context of autonomous urban mobility?
Well, there are a couple. Like I would say, you know, the basic ones is that, you know, they incentivize off-peak travel, they incentivize ride-sharing or using autonomous electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is kind of like mirroring the value of environmental stewardship by making sustainable choices more financially appealing. Back to the same, to the first, to the last question that we mm-hmm. just answered. So when you make it financially appealing, then people would kind of like, yeah, I want to go with that option because mm-hmm. that's the option that I want to help. And especially when it comes with a social goal behind mm-hmm. it, it would definitely make people more happy to adopt that and go with it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point. We mentioned the value of an electric car compared to a traditional car. You know, that's a good point. How much money would I save in fuel if I were to pursue an electric car that still looks great and is still popular amongst culture and, you know, across different cities compared to a traditional car? So when you use the vehicle perspective, that helps me to kind of connect these dots in particular.
Well, it's also back to the question, like when we said that when electricity, if you compare it to electricity, mm-hmm. you know, electricity used to be a luxury option to people.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, we just, you know, that's why it wasn't for everyone. And then all of a sudden, we moved to like having that available to everyone. And then, okay, how would you make sustainable solutions available to everyone if those doesn't come with a value or financial appealing to people.
Million-dollar question.
Yeah.
So what are some of the key challenges and opportunities that lie ahead in the journey towards sustainable, equitable, and vibrant cities through pricing sustainability as a service?
The biggest one is infrastructure. How would you put that infrastructure? So in the model that I came up with, let's assume that you would wake up one day and there are no cars in the streets.
Okay.
And you would just dial in on your phone. It's not even dialing on your phone. You click on an app and that, you know, car would come to you. I live in Dubai, by the way, and we have an app that we just click and we have, you know, fuel comes to our house and we just, you know, everything is like automated.
That's cool.
But imagine that you have that app and you don't need cars anymore. And with that being said, then you need an infrastructure where you would need those to park those idle cars. You need to have a proper designs for all the roads to have a systematic way to detect each other's cars. And then in that way, you would have electric, you know, autonomous electric cars to be available. And then also, you know, it can also be job, like there are like kind of like the challenge can also present opportunities. It's just like with everything, you know, like for example, if we say that, yeah, like there are like a lot of like technology adoption, regularity that we need to put in, this means that you have to add a lot of expertise to the table. And that goes back to my first point when I said the CSRD, the Corporate Sustainability Reporting reporting requirements by the Euro, is now creating a lot of emphasis on, you know, starting to put certifications towards understanding what that means. How can I like make it, how can I actually embrace that pricing sustainability as a service and lead to reduce like that traffic congestion, to lower emission, to improve air quality, and do more urban environmental solutions. So that like kind of like it's a flip side. I get the hurdles there, but like if you think about it from an opportunity point of view, it's also something that we should be at least investing in right now.
That also makes a lot of sense, because from this can come a lot of, you know, challenges, but also opportunities from those challenges that can help us to evolve in the pricing industry, evolve in, you know, different ways regarding our society at large when thinking about the future. And so not all challenges are bad, essentially, is what you're saying.
Pricing. Yeah, and then also you have to also consider that it comes with a great price, meaning that it would come with a price that we would have a really a clean environment where we would be able to invest our time properly. And we would be able to invest our resources properly. I mean, for the longest time, to be fair, we were not living sustainably. And that's why we are having all of those problems that are now coming up to the surface, where we become like a society where, you know, all of the diseases, all of the issues, all of the society issues, all of the, you know, even the mental issues that we're facing. Imagine if we have like kind of like if we would be in tune with nature. And yeah, that might sound like very romantic, but when you think about it, it's just about like just tuning your you know, tuning in with nature really, and finding solutions that would be more suitable to everyone, and we can live sustainably on this planet.
A lot of our efforts were not sustainable in a lot of regards. And so it's short-lived. And so if we can find some ways to come together and bring forth some solutions to live a more sustainable life, we're talking about pricing, a lot of doors can open, a lot of opportunities can come to surface as a result.
I mean, from a pricing perspective, if you look at pricing, we are like a function that serves other functions, right? So our customers are the business owners. Our customers are the people who make those decisions of the business. So when we do that, we're kind of like enabling, we are an enabling function basically. Imagine that you have an enabling function that knows the in and out of what the future should be and have like a sense of what, how do we measure that in a financial value and give you that perspective and make you more informative to make decisions and make proper decisions that would help the environment, basically.
Yeah. And that goes, that can go a very long way. That can go a very long
Exactly.
way. Okay.
Exactly.
Pricing sustainability as a service for autonomous urban mobility. Ms. Athba, it's been a pleasure to speak with you today. Now, she
Thanks,
is going to
Eric.
be with us again at our Amsterdam conference, November 29th through December 1st. I keep wanting to say October for some reason. And we're very excited to have you with us. Before we leave, is there any type of resource or website or place any of our listeners can learn more about you and your services and what you stand for?
Well, I have my LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
It's available, and I have some. My biography is also available on on the website as well. So you can reach me there, and I'm happy to answer any questions. And I'm happy to see everyone, and I'm excited to see everyone in Amsterdam next month.
Okay, good, good. Very excited to have you. Thank you
Yeah.
again for your time today. And until next time, we'll see you guys later. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.